Bandwidth for this show brought to you by the NSA. The NSA, watching, listening, and cataloging podcasts so you don't have to. Technorama episode 395 for January 8th, 2014. Brace yourselves, Technorama is coming!
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm looking for the computer network security override.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for January 8th, 2014. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you. That's all, folks.
Giggity, giggity.
Almost made it that time. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is my daughter, Julie. Hi, Julie.
Hello.
Julie's home for winter break.
Julie's home for winter break. Yeah.
I almost said spring break. That's coming up.
Spring.
Not too far.
It'll be not here before you know it.
It's what, negative 20 with the wind chill over here?
Oh, my gosh.
We're almost frozen solid. We have stories about the cold and brutal briskness in the upcoming show. And also joining us as usual is Craig. How are you, Craig?
Hold on. Let me think. I'm a little askew here. There you go. No, I'm better now.
Fixing the camera does not make you un-askew.
Some of life's problems just can't be helped with a little adjustment.
It doesn't de-skew you.
No, it doesn't de-skew me. Actually, I'm feeling pretty good. How about y'all? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Yay. It's now 2014. Start learning to write a 4 instead of a 3. And as Julie's boyfriend pointed out, it's not easy to accidentally write 3 and convert it to a 4.
Like it has been with 0, 1, and 2. Or 1 and 2, anyway.
Or 2 to 3. You can kind of get away with it. It's got that kind of long 3.
Yeah, it's not one you can write a line through and fix it.
Right.
Not easily.
Darn it.
So what are some of your New Year's resolutions real quick?
I don't have resolutions. I have goals, and I get them done.
You get them done?
Okay. I get them done. And the first goal is to make a list of goals, because I didn't get to it yet this year.
Oh, man. Well, you're 5 days in so far.
I have some leftovers from 2013 that didn't get done.
Oh, yeah? How about you, Julie? You got any resolutions? Here.
Yeah, what do you got, Jewel?
No, I don't think I have one. I didn't make any specific goals.
Finish your third year of college.
Yes.
See, that would work.
Pass all my classes. How about you?
I think my resolution is to come up with some better things for the show, because y'all obviously are not helping. I mean, come on. Conversation time.
I'm going to upgrade the studio at the cost of a new house.
Yeah. That's one way to upgrade it. Just dump it all out and put it somewhere else, right?
Right. I bought a house and it just so happened to have this awesome podcast studio already built in.
Mm-hmm.
So how can
I'm jealous already, by the way.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. I'm already rounding up the new troops out there. There's a talent pool worth tapping. Not saying you're out of the show.
I was going to say, wow. Oh, there's Craig, just the remote guy.
Oh, well. We've outsourced. We've insourced,
yeah.
Yeah. All right. We've got more of that stuff coming up. We've got coming up in this episode, Klingon time capsules, not Klingon time capsules, and sweet, sweet 80s goodness. All that, if you believe it or not.
I know where everybody would say, dang a gum, you're a geek.
How to cook an egg with your cell phone. You know, if somebody just made a cell phone like that, I'd buy it.
Or make eggs.
Does it take pictures and do all this other nonsense? I've got an MP3 player.
I've got my iPod video. I'm happy with that. I'm just not a converged device guy.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah, it's got to make sense.
Damn, beat it down. Beat it.
Do you know what a Tesla coil is, Craig?
Say, stick your tongue to this.
Oh, we lost Craig.
This is Brian Brushwood, professional jackass and raconteur. You're watching Chuck and Craig on Technorama. Except you're not watching, you're listening. But you're watching with your ears, because your ears have eyes. You need to see a medical professional about your ear eyes. That ain't right. Where's my beer?
On this day in history for January 8th, 2014. This is the 8th day of January in the Gregorian calendar. Easy math this time of year. There are 357 days remaining in 2014. There we go. So you got to learn to type 14. It was on this date in 1835 that the United States national debt is zero for the only time.
Oh, wait, that's my turn. Also on the same date in 1889, Hermann Hollerith is issued a U.S. patent number 395791 for the art of applying statistics, his punch card calculator.
And I just happen to not have any punch cards in reach tonight.
Whoa, stop the presses.
They're over there, they're out of reach.
Okay. The Blackstone Library is dedicated, marking the beginning of the Chicago Public Library system today in 1904.
Soviet space mission Luna 21 is launched 41 years ago today.
And today in 1981, local farmer reports UFO sighting in Trans-de-Provence, France. Is that right?
I didn't say it right. Close enough.
Close enough. Claimed to be perhaps the most complete and carefully documented sighting of all time.
I like that quote. Perhaps. The most completely. Julie, sir.
AT&T agrees to divest itself of 22 subdivisions on January 8th, 1982.
Part of my career history is tied in with that. I'll get to that in another time.
Okay.
And 20 years ago today, 1994, Russian cosmonaut Valery Polyakov on Soyuz TM-18 leaves for Mir. He would stay on space station only for 437 days.
Hey, I always thought those Russian names were for men were, you know, real manly until Valerie.
Valerie.
Oh, okay, that makes much more sense.
Happy birthday goes out of this day to German astronomer Johannes Fabricius, born on this date in 1587.
And also born today in 1862, Frank Nelson Doubleday, American publisher, founded the, you guessed it, Doubleday Publishing Company.
Mathematician Richard Courant was born today in 1888.
The original Doctor Who actor William Hartnell was born today in 1908.
And born on this date in 1923, computer scientist and author Joseph Weizenbaum.
Take us home, Julie.
And if your birthday is today, you also celebrate it with, should do all of them?
Do them all.
81-year-old journalist Charles Osgood, the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley, game show host Bob Eubanks, Monty Python's Graham Chapman, a man too smart to listen to Technorama, physicist and author Stephen Hawking, and singer, songwriter, producer, and actor David Bowie.
And don't forget, Thursday, January 9th is the seventh birthday of the iPhone. And that's the way it was on this day in history for January 8th, 2014.
We almost made the music last night.
Almost made it. Well, what Craig does such good editing, no one will ever know.
Yeah, sure.
He gets just the right length every time. It's kind of weird.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's uncanny.
How I edited up those different lengths.
I just remove all the ands and eventually it pushes everybody together.
Good news, anyone?
Well, it isn't really good news because then Indian tribalsmen has retired. Indian Trial Council. I thought we were talking about the tribal leader
Indian
here.
No.
Indian.
Let me back up.
Trial. What the heck?
Let me fix this. It has nothing to do with a trial
or a tribal.
Trail. Actually, it's right in here near my house. Indian Trail is an area. It's
kind of like a Indian Trail.
Yeah.
Got trial. It. But I was wondering,
anyway, go ahead
who's
now.
The prosecutor?
The U.S. government?
We are having an Indian trial.
No. So go ahead.
How much curry would you like on that? An Indian trail councilman decided to boldly go where no politician has gone before and tendered his resignation this week in the Klingon language. Apparently, David Waddell no longer wanted to live and prosper on the board. In an interview Thursday, Waddell said his resignation letter to the mayor, Michael Alvarez, was written in Klingon, the language of a proud warrior race on the Star Trek TV shows and movies, and an inside
Nerd
joke.
Alert!
But in case the mayor wasn't up to speed with his Klingon, Waddell included a translation using Bing.com. Folks don't know what to think of me half of the time, said Waddell, so I might as well have one last laugh on the board. Alvarez right. called the letter childish, unprofessional. It's an embarrassment for Indian Trail, and it's an embarrassment for North Carolina, he said.
Yeah.
Just sure. something like that. Waddell said he is resigning as of January 31st. He is in his first term on the board, and the four-year seat expired December 2015. In a letter to the community that was written in English, Waddell elaborated on his reasons for leaving. No, he didn't really say that.
In a recorded transcription. Right?
The translation is, teach the city the Constitution. I will return next time to witness victory. Resignation occurs on 2014, the 31st of January. Perhaps today is a good day to resign. Kapla
sorry,
to
that,
you too.
That last line really got me right there. That's funny.
But it's written in the Klingon character set too. That's what cracks me up.
Mm-hmm.
Why is his name so long?
David Waddell?
In Klingon. Yeah, it's almost as long as
oh, wow.
any of the sentences.
It is. Maybe it's David Waddell, Destroyer of the Universe.
No, I have a feeling. I'm not familiar with how to read and write Klingon. However, I do know that, you know, some of the symbols actually stand for an entire word.
Like in Chinese, but, it's pictograms? Yeah.
But okay. something like his name, you probably have to do every letter. So
gotcha.
That might be why it's longer.
Okay.
Just taking a guess there.
He expressed frustration with what he saw as runaway development in the town, as well as concerns with how requests for public information were being handled. In November, the council tabled a plan to establish more fees for some public records and add more restrictions on how records could be viewed. Waddell, a plumber, said he thought he would be more effective by coming to board meetings as a citizen and speaking out on issues. He said he's also needed to devote time to mount a write-in campaign on the Constitution's party platform for Kay Hagan's U.S. Senate seat. Town manager Joe Fivas said the council will determine the replacement process for Waddell later this month or in early February. The fast-growing town in Western Union County has a population of about 35,000. Waddell ended his four-sentence resignation letter by paraphrasing his Klingon proverb, perhaps today is a good day to resign.
Hey, if he wanted to be more effective, he could have come to board meetings in cosplay as a
Klingon. Oh, geez.
With Batleth.
Childish hey. And unprofessional, is that what they said?
Yes. Yeah,
so instead of just sending a letter and seeming childish, the mayor could have just said, you're just childish, period.
Craig called it Nerd Alert.
Nerd Alert.
Hey, if it sounded like Technorama news to me.
Hey, if he wants to resign in Klingon, I'm all for it.
Why weren't you there in person as our roaming reporter, Craig?
Well, it's not actually that close, but I had no idea he was doing this. So.
Okay.
Otherwise, I would have. Hey, I could send him an email. We could get him on the show.
Why exactly did you do this?
Yeah.
What?
Why not Andorian?
Don't you know Romulan is the official language of Union County?
Yeah.
What a faux pas. No wonder it's childish and unprofessional.
Actually, faux pas sounds Klingon, doesn't it?
Faux pas!
Faux pas.
In other news, we have a 1942 time capsule apartment discovered in Paris.
Now, I believe it's I want to tell you.
I want to tell you. I put this in here.
Appartement.
Yeah, I put this in here. It's not necessarily tech news or anything.
Yes,
but I found it fascinating, and I thought that's why I threw it in here.
Oh wait, you have to do that with your Klingon ears.
Fascinating. Vulcan.
Oh, yes, I did screw that up, didn't I? Vulcan ears. Fascinating.
Well,
do that again.
And then I thought, well, it's got a little time travel element to it, so.
Yeah.
Okay. And we have another time travel story a little later.
Mm-hmm.
This real estate story sounds almost like a fairy tale or the beginning of a big Hollywood production. Back in 2010, a Parisian apartment on the right bank near the Opéra Garnier. How's that?
Pretty close.
Pretty close. Left unoccupied. I know Francois is probably laughing at my
French. Why don't you just point to her when it comes to the French words?
And the chemical stuff. Don't talk about that ethanol discussion we had earlier today. Left unoccupied since 1942 was discovered. It was owned by Madame de Florian, a socialite and an actress who fled the south of France during the Second World War, leaving everything behind. She never came back to Paris, but kept on paying her rent until the day she died when she was 91.
Wow.
It's only after she died that someone, a commissaire auctioneer, re-entered her apartment for the first time in over 70 years. Wow. These pieces are lovely. The carved wood and everything.
How is there not an inch of dust on everything?
There was a smell of old dust, said Oliver Chapin-Genry. No kidding.
Laughter?
Who made the discovery? Walking under high wooden ceilings, past an old wood stove, a stone sink in the kitchen, he spotted a stuffed ostrich and a Mickey Mouse toy dating from before the war. Something's probably worth a lot of money. eBay.
Actually, you know what? I was surprised by two things. The state of the room. It actually looks like it's in good shape.
Yeah.
Just like somebody had just been in it. The other, mostly because it had a lot of stuff. But the other thing was that she continued to pay for this her entire life.
Without going back, yeah.
Darn it, when you forget to cancel the auto pay.
Yeah.
The stuffed ostrich. Who has a stuffed ostrich?
Well, apparently taxidermy pieces were commonly found throughout Madame de Florian's apartment. It was common to have taxidermy in one's home back in the day. In fact, having a few as home decor was a sign of affluence.
Ostrich, though. Come on now.
Yeah, maybe big polar bear.
An elephant.
Or
yes.
A big cat or something.
Badger.
Elephant.
What does the fox say?
Get an elephant. Badger. Your spouse doesn't agree with it. Yeah.
Let's
okay,
get a nice badger. Yeah.
How about the porcupine?
Hey, I do see a stuffed mouse.
Mickey Mouse? The wallpaper is a bit falling off. I mean, there are some pieces in here that, some parts of the apartment that could really use some maintenance.
Yeah, I think it's surprisingly in good shape. But yeah, there is some water damage, a little bit of water damage.
Yep.
But, you know, consider that, you know, the whole area was invaded. I'm sure there's some damage to the building because she fled as the war started.
Oh, I suppose. So, yeah. Surprised that anything is here.
So nobody been in it since she left. So I imagine that that's why I'm surprised it's such in good shape.
Wow.
Maybe I wonder why she didn't return. Was she just traumatized? You know, they didn't want to go back.
I don't know why she would keep paying rent and not come back.
I'd be traumatized by the ostrich.
Yeah, giving her the eye. No, but I wonder if it's just that she just psychologically she couldn't come back, but she didn't want to let him down by not paying her rent.
She had her integrity was at stake. Madame, you've not paid your rent on your apartment in months.
How dare you?
Anyway, get out.
She did it, though.
So. All right, let's look at the birthday calendar, and then we'll move on. January 3rd. I know we were supposed to, this is for the 8th, but you know.
We're catching up since the
year. Well, we have a lot of, yeah. and we can't skip this beginning of the new year without mentioning Thomas Gideon from the Command Line podcast on January 3rd. Yes. So happy birthday, Thomas. Happy birthday, January 6th to Steve Therrien in Canada. January 9th, Lingo from the Britain Yankee Pubcast. And January 14th, Glenn Tolar. Happy birthday to all of you. And if it's your birthday and you're not on the calendar, happy birthday to you as well. Hope you have a great day with friends and family. And that you go over to the wiki and put your name on there so we can give you a shout out next year or whenever your birthday's coming up. Now is a good reminder. Yeah. We remind you every week. How many do you need? Go to chuckchat.com/wiki and put your name on the birthday calendar. Thank you.
Hey, by the way, I think I'm going to stop wishing everybody a happy birthday on Facebook.
Why?
You know, usually, I mean, it's easy to go just look and I go, oh, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday. But twice already I've been caught where I sent somebody a happy birthday. George Starcher was one. All right. I'm calling him out a little bit. But I said, oh, happy birthday. And Well, it wasn't his actual birthday because they required or something on Facebook, but he falsified it because he didn't want to know.
It wasn't a security issue.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, he was doing it as a security issue, I guess, for himself. But I'm like, so now I look like an idiot. I'm like the only, you know something's up when you're the only one on his wall going, happy birthday.
So yeah. Out of hundreds of people, you're canceling for just a couple of sour grapes.
I just don't want to look at the jerk. Maybe I just now I got to go look at everybody's wall to see if somebody else has wished them happy birthday first. So
I don't wish happy birthday to everybody anymore either. Too much time.
Yeah. See,
it takes about 30 seconds in the morning and I'm done.
Yeah. But I don't go on Facebook every day. And then I feel like a jerk if I do it for some people and not other people, just because that's when I happen to go on Facebook.
Hmm. Yeah. And see, Well, lately I've been on it a good bit, but it's one of those things I want to be able to just not mess with, Facebook. I don't want to mess with it.
Yeah, and I'm sure people won't be crushed if you don't say happy birthday to them.
Yeah, well, usually they go, thanks everybody for all, I'm overwhelmed. Well, if you're overwhelmed, you didn't need mine.
Yeah. Craig's birthday's coming up at the end of January.
We'll start this policy after the 25th and February.
January 25th. Yeah. This show is recorded to be released on the 8th, so you still have a few days.
I'm sorry, what'd you say, Chuck?
Even if you're a slow listener. If you're a slow listener, January 25th. If you're listening slow at double listener. Speed, then you ought to catch that too.
You're a slow listener.
Hacks and strange stories! Craig found this lovely piece of furniture. Speaking of furniture from that French apartment, this one was not in there.
And by the way, before you start talking about what it is, I want to tell you, my wife is looking for a new coffee table, and I thought about bringing this up, but it ain't going to happen.
No, really? No. I want one of these in my new house.
Office.
Well, it's been perfect for a coffee table. How would you work on this in an office? It's way too low.
This is the table... This is the table you would set your mics up on and podcast from.
And everybody's on their knees? What, if you're eating Chinese, Mongolian food sitting on the floor, maybe? This is a floppy disk table, folks. It's about a foot and a half off the ground, like your typical coffee table. Before the days of CDs and DVDs and USB drives and external hard drives, there was the humble floppy disk, a small square disk that was capable of holding a whopping 1.44 megabytes of data, and that was the double density ones. The first ones were 720K, and then there were the 5 1/4s before that held even less. So yeah, this was like third generation technology for me, maybe even longer, more than that. I still see this as somewhat of a modern design.
Well, it is the third generation in a sense, because you had 8 inch, 5 1/4, and
right, and then the 3 1/2s.
Yeah.
This thing's thick enough to almost look more like a zip drive. But, well, now you can relive the lovely floppy disk glory days and feel some intense waves of nostalgia with this crazy awesome floppy disk table that looks just like an oversized... Right.
Crazy!
We've got crazy floppy disk prices! An oversized version of the real thing. The table even comes equipped with a hidden storage space for storing odds and ends, like those remote controls you have lying around everywhere. Well, if you use a Harmony One from Logitech, ding! Sorry, didn't give him a plug. You can just stick one remote in there, but the little the sliding metal door for the floppy disk part?
Yeah.
That's where it opens up.
Do you know the name of that is, by the way?
Does it have an actual technical name?
Yes, and you're going to kick yourself when I tell you.
The flippy door?
Nope.
The metal guard plate?
Nope. You got one more guess.
The thing that cuts your fingers when you try to remove it?
Yes. No. That's not what I'm looking for. It's a shutter.
Oh.
A shutter.
So yeah. I think the ones on floppy disks don't have springs in them.
Yes.
Does this oversized one have a spring in it? So you have
that'd be a
reach in and guillotine grab out
on your hand.
Yeah.
Get your remote. I hope not. Hand.
Garage door spring strength.
Yeah.
Does it have a protect tab?
Yep.
Johnny went for the remote again.
Roll for one. It doesn't say how much it is. It's 27.56 inches in width, 25.59 in height, and 17
72 in depth.
Do the math. I wonder if it's scaled properly.
It sure looks like it is. They even have one leg that's kind of beveled and the rest are squared off.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Hey, but yeah, so when you ground your kids and they can't watch TV, put your remotes in there.
Now, you can find more information. Where is it? I thought it was like at floppydisktable.com.
Hey, by the way, do you know that, you know what they call a little spring that holds the door?
Shutter spring?
The shutter spring.
Shutter spring. There you go. You're quick, Julie.
Julie. College education. All right. Yeah, speaking of college education, this one relates directly to Julie.
Oh?
Yeah, because it has Michigan Tech in it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Over at Slashdot, we found that HughPickens.com writes, quote, here's an interesting paper by two physicists at Michigan Technological University who have come up with a practical methodology for finding time travelers through the internet. Are they time traveling through the internet?
Internet time travelers?
Last night I went looking for an elephant in my pajamas.
Why was an elephant wearing your pajamas?
How he got my pajamas. I'll never
He wasn't there, but the trunk was.
Time travel has captured the public imagination for much of the past century, but little has been done to actually search for time travelers. Here, three implementations of internet searches for time travelers are described, all seeking a prescient method of information not previously available. The first search covered prescient content placed on the internet, highlighted by a comprehensive search for specific terms in tweets on Twitter. Where else would tweets be?
Yep.
The second search examined prescient inquiries submitted to a search engine, highlighted by a comprehensive search for specific search terms submitted to a popular astronomy website. You think it might be APOD? There's a tie-in there with Michigan Tech.
Wait, what is APOD?
Astronomy photo of the day.
Yeah, that's run by one of my physics professors.
Richard? We interviewed him. I can't remember the name.
Collier?
Koloff?
It was Russian-sounding.
Anyway, the third search involved a request for direct internet communication, either by email or tweet, predating the time of the inquiry. Given practical, verifiable concerns, only time travelers from the future were investigated. No time travelers were discovered. Although, these negative results do not disprove time travel, given that great reach of the internet, this search is perhaps the most comprehensive to date. Stephen Hawking's similar search also provided negative results. So, nice to have.
Did you watch his video, by the way?
No, I did not watch his video.
It's the one where he threw a birthday or threw a party for time travelers, but he didn't inform anybody. But in the future, they would know about it. So they should show up.
You did tell me about that.
Yeah, nobody showed up.
Huh.
Well, forever alone.
I'll be sure to grab the DeLorean and show up at his party.
Yeah. See, that's his theory. That's what you're supposed to.
I like one of those comments. Technically, we're all time travelers. We're just traveling forward in time.
At the same speed
as each other. Mm.
I do know some people that are still in 1980s.
Hey. I resemble that remark.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a real quick break and we will be back with. Oh, man, you're going to love the stuff we have about the snow and cold because it's snow and cold here. And we have just the vehicle to get you around, at least until spring.
That's right.
This is not the set of numbers that you're looking for. 157, 163, 225, 151, 101.
What is that, today's winning lotto numbers from Bruce Barr? Suddenly we've got Dr. Floyd's Imagination Nation Ranger secret message crossing over with the Technorama. Does anybody know what's going on in this show anymore? Because I'm lost and it's our show.
That's the fun part.
Hi, this is the Encaffeinated One, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama. Good for you.
All We want to remind you that we do this show live every Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern Time on Google Plus Hangouts, or you can join us on the Technorama website, chuckchat.com/webcam. We even have a chat room where people chat, and let me see who's in there now. We have some familiar names. We have Alexander the Pretty Good Guy. I mean, Alexander the Great. We have Captain Rootbeer, Fuffy Frog. Hey, it's probably even colder in Canada than it is here. Sorry to hear that, Fuffy. We got Gru out on the West Coast. We got Craig, of course, and me and Chan Serve. New Year's Tim. And Snowden Man.
Snowden Man. I think he's in Russia, isn't he?
Oh, did we lost WSM? Oh, WSM is now Snowden Man.
Hey, it's Edward Snowden Man.
Oh, that was poor.
He's leaking as we speak.
And did Big Scott T? Yeah, Big Scott T left the chat room. We were over his house earlier today.
How was it?
Oh, it was fun. Lots of food.
Lots of food. Yeah.
And he's going to be joining us in DragonCon, right?
Yes, he is.
Looking forward to it.
Everything goes well. Yes, we are looking forward to that. So, and we want to see you on the webcam chat room thingy. Join us there. Like I said, every Sunday night, keep your eye on the Facebook and Twitter feeds and follow Technorama or Technorama Podcast, and we'll let you know when we're doing this. Because sometimes, you know, we got to work and travel and whatnot, and that gets in the way. So, speaking of cold and snowy, we have from paleofuture. Oh, we got a couple of snow stories. We got this in the ice truck coming up.
Yes.
The blizzard fighting monster machine we deserve but never got. So the eastern seaboard the last week or so has been getting some serious snow, and I think even Chicago and Indiana and Ohio and all those states have been getting them. In 1960, they came out with this proposed snow melting machine, which had like flamethrowers on the front end, a tractor crawler, kind of like a snow
flame-throwing jets, twin power plants, compressor unit, and then fuel tankers behind it.
Yeah, it's got like two or three trailers of fuel to blow the snow right off. Now, question is, what happens when the snow melts? It turns to water. What happens to the water when it gets cold again? Mm-hmm. You now have a frozen ice road or ditches of ice.
Yeah.
Well, you can see the water kind of going off to the side there.
Now, you know what's funny is I just saw a news story this last week that the railroads have something similar to this. They have a jet engine mounted on the front of a train car that pretty much blows this away, because unlike the asphalt or concrete, what's on a rail? Well, I guess they might torch the ties a little bit, but it's stone and steel, right?
Well,
right,
I'll tell you, at NASCAR events, you know, I've been to one a few races where it rains, but if it doesn't rain enough, you know, it's just a little wet, they can run these trucks that across it, and they have jet engines pointing straight down
to dry the track.
Yeah, so they drive around the track a little bit, and it dries the track out. It's pretty effective. I think it's mostly effective,
Nice.
But as long as it's not soaking wet. If it's wet, like it's been drizzling a little bit, and it's too dangerous to drive on at those speeds, they can at least dry them.
Here's the write-up they had for this machine. Snow piles and drifts on highways and turnpikes may soon be a thing of the past. S.O. You know what that reminds me of? The Rich Hall Sniglet, where people cut through the corner gas station so they don't have to take the light. The Sniglet is an S.O. didn't Esso become part of Exxon? I think so.
Do not know.
Esso Research and Engineering Corporation has already devised a system for clearing urban roadways that is reported to be cheaper than under pavement steam or electric coils. Or whenever we get those.
Oh, yeah.
A trough is built alongside the road and kept half filled with water, which is heated by oil and air-fed units at the bottom. Snow channeled into the trough melts instantly. Okay. Variations of this system can be evolved from cross-country roads, or for cross-country roads. Flame-belching, snow-melting highway equipment is even now on the drawing boards. And there it stayed.
Next week, circle runways.
Yeah.
Is that what it said?
That's not what it said.
Yeah, next week, circle runways.
Next week, circle runways. Oh, my goodness. How would you take off on a circle runway? Ladies and gentlemen, hang on.
Spider-Man, maybe? I don't know.
They'd have to have like a helicopter. Corners or something.
Yeah. By the way, just for stating the fact, Esso is the international trade name for ExxonMobil.
Ha ha ha, I'm not making this stuff
and
up.
And I think in most of the world, the Esso brand and Mobil brand are the primary brand names of ExxonMobil, with Exxon brand names still being used mostly in use in the United States.
Yes, ExxonMobil, I own some of that stock, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you're mistaken.
No, I'm not. I'll check my E-Trade account later. Yeah. Media Corner time!
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
All right, I want you to lead this one in, Craig, because I wasn't able to read through the whole thing.
Okay. I think most of the internet's already read this, except for you, or seen this video. but this is actually a Kickstarter where this guy made a movie. He's filmed it all on green screen, but it's called Kung Fury. And okay. I'm only putting it in here because I feel like it's our duty to do this because it's so
bad.
80s-rific. No, it's perfect. So you got this cop. He's a kung fu artist, and but he's also, with the help of his friend, a time-traveling one as well. So they should have this cool scene right at the beginning. These guys blow up a cop's car, and he comes flying in, jumps the... What is it, Lamborghini or whatever? The door, as it's in the air, door opens DeLorean? Up. He jumps up on the roof and is shooting down at the guys. It's so over the top. It's funny. It's great.
I just like, here, let me read this intro paragraph. The in-production action comedy movie Kung Fury taps into what made 80s cinema so great and so bad. Tough Miami cops, time travel, DeLoreans, Uzi-wielding Viking soldiers riding on dinosaurs, and the NES Power Glove. Okay, that sounds like a winner to me. Kickstarter mm-hmm. project, you say?
I say.
Okay.
When's so what he's trying to do is he's trying to raise enough money so he can work on it full-time and finish production and put it out. I think he's going to put it out for free if he gets enough money so he can produce it.
Okay.
So I was hoping... that one of these, movie studios would see it and go, wait a minute, we may have some interest here and jump in on it. But it is, I'm telling you, it looks, when you watch the little trailer, it looks just like you popped in a VHS tape and was watching a movie.
Oh my, I think Julie's watching the trailer right now.
Yes, it's funny. Hey, by the way.
I like the Kung Fuhrer.
With Hitler?
Yeah, Kung Fuhrer. It's Hitler, the worst criminal of all. I got to kill him. But actually, it looks like they've exceeded their goal. They were wanting 200,000. They've gotten 444.
The
they
wow.
could actually make this. He could make this into a probably a feature film, to be honest with you.
Fantastic.
A whole series for the History Channel.
What yeah. the heck? And Thor coming out. It's his version of Thor is funny.
This is great.
Anyway.
And you found another one on movies and film from SF Signal.
Yeah. So be sure to check. By the way, be sure to check that one out because that's well worth your time if you hadn't seen it. Now, this one I've seen a while back. I don't remember if we ever brought it up.
I don't think
so. But it's a little sci-fi short film. It's about, 16 minutes long. And it has,
it's called The Final Moments of Carl Brandt.
Yeah. It has Paul Reubens in it. And he's a... computer scientist kind of guy, and I'm not going to say much about it other than there's transferring of your consciousness into computer kind of thing. It's okay. Really cool. It's short. Like I said, 16 minutes. I could have gone for probably an hour's worth of this because it was well done and it looked good. So.
Do you know who Paul Reubens is, Julie?
Nope.
Pee Wee Herman.
Oh.
Pee Wee Herman. So, and actually he's not a bad actor. Outside of his outfit.
All right. So. I thought this next one in the Geek Library was actually real. I didn't realize somebody did recently.
I saw this and I thought, Chuck's going to like this because I have a feeling you like
it. Oh, I did. I saw this come up on the news feeds and I started laughing. The Star Wars anime by Nacho Punch. Just look for on YouTube, Star Wars, the lost 1980s anime. Was this actually from the 80s? Yeah, show notes would be good too. We got it there. Mm-hmm. Was this made recently or was this made in the 80s and lost?
No. I think it was made recently.
That's what I thought too.
Just like the Kung Fury. It looks like an 80s crap film.
We posted this to the Technorama page too, so I know a number of you have seen it there as well on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And the Luke Skywalker, why do I have these strange feelings?
Yeah, he says it like two or three times.
it's really sad.
Why do I still have these feelings? What I like is when he says Jedi powers activate and his arm turns into his mechanical arm that he has in the movie turns into a lightsaber.
Right. And then he's battling Darth Vader. Come back here, Dad.
Yeah. Why do I still have these feelings?
And his dad turns into a radioactive scorpion and scuttles off. It's totally over-the-top anime. And if you like Star Wars and you like anime, you must go see it.
There's so much more I want to talk about that. But it's short, too.
It's worth of funny.
Yeah, I end up giving it away too much if we get... might as well... Yeah, it's hilarious.
And finally on over-the-top, over at Gizmodo, they found an ice truck. Yeah. This was rather interesting.
Wait, read my little comment right there.
Your comment that says, a vehicle that will make you feel all warm and fuzzy, especially when the high temperature for us tomorrow is about the same in Celsius as it is in Fahrenheit.
That's the point of where it equalizes.
Right. Behold, the first self-propelled ice sculpture ever. In fact, Lisa does not have school tomorrow because it's so cold. Not because there's snow, really? But because it's cold. Yes. A truck made of ice that actually works. It's a real truck using 11,000 pounds of ice over a regular truck chassis, complete with engine and electrical system. It has headlights. It has taillights. It's street legal. And it moves down the road just as you would expect. Now... Mm-hmm. I'm a little disappointed in the videos because they're more commercials for Canada Tire than they are for how we built this and how it works.
I think it's a battery. Isn't it a battery company?
Maybe it's the tire and battery. And it would have been cool to see the backstory of how it was built. They show some short clips of it being built and even of it melting in reverse time.
One of the videos, they went into a little more detail. But you know what? I was curious. One, is this an electric truck? Because... I would think a combustion engine would be too hot.
Yeah.
No, there's a comment in here from the dude who was on the team that he says, I actually work for the company that designed and welded the frame of the truck, Ram Productions Design Labs, based out of St. Catharines, Ontario. And this was dropped on us fairly last minute and was slightly bigger challenge than expected. It was pretty fun, though, figuring out how best to ensure the ice wouldn't melt, vibrate apart, or slip off the bed and frame. We never really done anything like it before. We typically do video game launches for Sony's first-party games or promotional displays for companies like Molson. Nice change of pace and really cool to see our work get some far-reaching attention.
Okay.
I don't believe it is. No, because there's a tailpipe. It wouldn't be electrical if it had it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. My thought was it was electric because even if it's freezing out, there's a certain level of temperature coming and heat coming off the engine, a running engine.
Yeah, but you can duct the heat away.
I don't know how they would have done that so well, though.
Really? Wait a minute. Let's think about that for a minute. You can really? Why haven't they done that before? Or do it now?
What? Build an ice truck?
No, duct the heat away.
You know what? This should be on the show Ice Road Truckers. Then you get an ice truck on the ice road.
Ice truck rotors.
Then if your truck falls through the ice, it's a zero sum game, right?
Wait a minute, Chuck. Wait a minute. I'm going to get back to what you said a minute ago. If they can conduct the heat away, which I know you can with, heat sinks and whatnot, but they don't. Who does that?
Too much money, probably.
If you had to, if your job was to build the frame that this truck goes on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you would find a way to keep the engine from melting the whole front end of that thing in the first 30 seconds.
Yes.
Maybe we should be in contact with this dude from the comments.
I did like watching the video of it melting. Did you watch that?
Yeah, it was melting in reverse time lapse.
Yeah, the reverse time lapse. There you go. That's how they built it. That's how they built it, Chuck.
Oh, they just unmelted it.
Yep.
Okay, that makes it easier than carving it out of ice blocks.
It's like the T-1000. Yeah.
I'm like liquid, liquid.
Okay, is that radiator made out of ice?
No. Well, the grill the grill on the is made out of ice.
Oh, okay.
But there's
that
a
makes
radiator
more
behind
sense.
It.
That's just
the radiator is made out of ice.
As they show in the video that when they're carving, it's a few blocks of ice that make up the front end of this thing, and they just go, they take a router or something and carve it out to make it look like a grill, a front end of a real truck.
I'm still trying to figure out why, if we can remove the, I guess there's no real need to do that in a conventional car to remove the heat from the engine compartment because you're just driving and wind blowing through it.
Right.
So, okay, well. Hey, just trying to solve a problem.
It's a cool vehicle. I'm not the engineer who made it. Don't look at me.
No, I just want to have a conversation about it, man.
We're not engineers, and we don't play one on a podcast.
But I did stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night.
And I'm going to end the show before someone else calls us out. But if you'd like to call us out, if you found something suspicious or want to make a correction or make fun
suspicious.
Of our financial pronunciations...
If you found a weird package sitting here while you were listening to your
or
podcast...
Or the NSA truck is parked outside your apartment... Or home. Call us on the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. You can send us MP3s and all that other stuff. We haven't heard from somebody in a long time. Or email us. Yes, technorama@chuckchat.com still works.
I have a New Year's resolution for all of our listeners.
Get in contact with us at least once.
Yeah, call us. Come on, man.
There you go.
Is it really that hard?
That's not a resolution. That's a threat.
Well. A threat would mean there's consequences. I'm just asking people to do it.
I'll tell you what the consequences are. You want some consequences? I got your consequences right here.
Okay.
You can contact us in a lot of different ways. Twitter and Facebook and all this stuff is in the show notes and on the website. You just got to go to truckchat.com/technorama and see it. It's all there. G+, the Facebook page. Some of you people are pretty good about, plussing and liking and commenting. That's all fun too. We want some interaction with this stuff. Remember the old days of podcasting when people
you want some consequences?
Oh no.
That's nice, Craig.
No.
We used to have a separate feedback show. Remember that?
Yeah.
Years ago. Old days. Whew, thank goodness we don't have to do that twice a week ever again.
Yeah, well, give us a reason to.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Consequences are we might bring back the feedback show? What?
Yeah.
If you don't.
How did that get turned around?
If you don't
wait a minute,
us,
now I got more work.
Yeah.
But I still want to thank occasionally the people who do the monthly donation in the tip jar. Your donations are greatly appreciated and keep us running. And they had nothing to do with the purchase of the new house and studio. So, until next time, we want to give a big thanks to Mad Marv for providing the great blog content, everyone who sent us links during the week, and those who joined us in the Hangout. Thank you very much. And thank you, Julie, for joining us.
Thank you.
Good luck back at school. And thank you, listener, for downloading and listening. Thanks, Craig, for showing up and taking care of the website and everything.
Hey, yeah. Just for you, man. And you too.
It's fun. Handshake across the internet.
Yeah.
Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And as always, give me a binary high five.
Go, Julie. You do it.
101.
See, I'm the sign language interpreter on the side.
Yeah.
All right. Tell everybody bye.
Good night, y'all.
Oh, there you go. Good night.
End of transmission.
End of line.